for Yoyogi. He seemed to be deep in thought. Apparently at home in the area, he never once hesitated or looked around. He kept walking at the same pace, facing straight ahead. I followed after him, thinking about the day that Kumiko had her abortion. Sapporo, in early March. The earth was hard and frozen, and now and then a few snowflakes had fluttered down. I was back in those streets, my lungs full of frozen air. I saw the white breath coming from people's mouths. Then it hit me. That was when things had started to change. Yes, definitely. That had been a turning point. After that, the flow around me had begun to show signs of change. Now that I thought about it, that abortion had been an event of great significance for the two of us. At the time, however, I had not been able to perceive its true importance. I had been too distracted by the act of abortion itself, while the genuinely important thing may have been something else entirely. I had to do it, she said. I felt it was the right thing to do, the best thing for both of us. But there's something else, something you don't know about, something I can't put into words just yet. I'm not hiding anything from you. I just can't be sure whether or not it's something real, which is why I can't put it into words yet. Back then, she couldn't be sure that something was real. And that something, without a doubt, had been more connected with the pregnancy than with the abortion. Maybe it had had something to do with the child in her womb. What could it have been? What had sent her into such confusion? Had she had relations with another man and refused to give birth to his baby? No, that was out of the question. She herself had declared that it was out of the question. It had been my child, that was certain. But still, there had been something she was unable to tell me, and that something was inextricably connected to her decision to leave me. Everything had started from that. But what the secret was, what had been concealed there, I had no idea. I was the only one left alone, the only one in the dark. All I knew for certain was that as long as I failed to solve the secret of that something, Kumiko would never come back to me. I began to sense a quiet anger growing inside my body, an anger directed towards that something that remained invisible to me. I stretched my back, drew in a deep breath, and calmed the pounding of my heart. Even so, the anger, like water, seeped into every corner of my body. It was an anger steeped in sorrow. There was no way for me to smash it against something. Nothing I could do to dispel it. The man went on walking at the same steady pace. He crossed the Odakyu-lined tracks, past a block of shops, through a shrine, through a labyrinth of alleys. I followed after him, adjusting my distance so as to keep him from spotting me. And it was clear that he had not spotted me. He never once looked around. There was definitely something about this man that made him different from ordinary people. Not only did he never look back, he never once looked to either side. He was so utterly concentrated. What could he be thinking about? Or was he rather thinking about absolutely nothing? Before long, the man entered a hushed area of deserted streets lined with two-story wood-frame houses. The road was narrow and twisted, and the run-down houses were jammed up against each other on either side. The lack of people here was almost weird. More than half the houses were vacant. Boards were nailed across the front doors of the vacant houses, and applications for planning permission were posted outside. Here and there, like missing teeth, were vacant lots filled with summer weeds and surrounded by chain-link fences. There was probably a plan to demolish this whole area in the near future and put up some new high-rises. Pots of morning glories and other flowers crammed the little space outside one of the few houses that were occupied. A tricycle lay on its side, and a towel and a child's bathing suit were being dried in the second-story window. Cats lay everywhere, beneath the windows, in the doorway, watching me with weary eyes. Despite the early evening hour, there was no sign of people. The geography of this place confounded me. I couldn't tell north from south. I guessed that I was in the triangular area between Yoyogi and Sendagaya and Harajuku, but I could not be sure. It was, in any case, a forgotten section of the city, It had most likely been overlooked because the roads were so narrow that cars could hardly pass through.